quite happy now to be joined by Matthew Berry from ESPN. You know him as the fantasy guy. He is the talented Mr. Roto. He has a new book out called Fantasy Life by Matthew Berry, and it's published by Riverhead Books. And Matthew, I remember, I'm 48, and I remember in this whole thing with the rotisserie restaurant and how this thing got started, and it was called the Rotisserie Leagues. And now I look, I have people who are just come to this country who says, hey, Rick, who should I start this weekend? I mean, everybody's doing this now.
Yeah, it's really amazing, right? It used to be, frankly, guys like me and you but that were playing it. I'm 43, so I'm right there with you. And now it's not just. I mean, it's, you know, in the book, like I talk about this, there's like, I got an 87-year-old grandmother, and she plays her story, right? It's moms, it's housewives, it's kids, it's people of all ages, priests, rabbis, and ministers. Sounds like the start of a bad joke. It's actually three different fantasy leagues I know about, right? I mean, Jay-Z plays, Dale Earnhardt Jr. plays, Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, the actor who plays Harry Potter, told my podcast audience that Anquan Boldin was his fantasy Voldemort. I mean, you know, like, everyone plays. I now sort of feel like the people who don't play are the guys in the minority.
Well, you know, the other day I was at the Raider Image across from the Coliseum, and the guy came in with his friend, and he's like, I want my McFadden jersey, and he bought a real one, and it was like $300, and he says, I won the fantasy league, and this is his punishment. He has to buy me this jersey. And then I started thinking, there are probably a lot worse punishments. What are some that you've seen?
Yeah, there's a lot that I talk about in the book. It's one of my favorite sections of the book. You know, it's because the book is all about like the fun stuff about fantasy sports, right? It's not just about like the, you know, here's how you win. It's not a nerd stat heavy book. It's about the fun stuff, like punishments for losing your league. I got a league in the Bronx where the loser has to dress up as a lion, and the rest of the league chase him with a paintball gun.
That's not
like, you know, that's a pretty good one, I thought. That was a pretty good one. There's a lot of leagues where, you know, the loser has to dress as a woman, has to draft in his underwear. Got a guy, you see the picture in it, he had to go to the busiest street corner in his town, dressed in a leotard, holding a huge sign that says, I suck at fantasy football. His cars are driving by honking. Probably the favorite, though, is the Tattoo League. If you go to YouTube and just search Tattoo League, you'll see video of these guys. But the loser of this league has to get a tattoo chosen by the winner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
even want to imagine that.
They've done it for 3 years now. The guy who lost, I just have to tell you real quick, the guy who lost last year had to get a tattoo of Justin Bieber's face.
I was going to say something worse, but actually, that might be the worst thing. Matthew Berry is with us, Rick Tittle with you, and I'm thinking about some of the draft locations, because I've seen some weird ones. Where is probably the weirdest location, or one of them, you think, where you say, okay, this is where we're having our draft?
Well, I mean, you know, people have done it overseas. You know, one guy was over in Afghanistan, and his military base was actually being bombed, and he still kept drafting. He's literally outside, and military police are like, get inside. And he's just like, this is the only place for Wi-Fi. I can't miss it. I'm just like, you know, I thought that was crazy, to be perfectly honest. But the guy sort of has the attitude of, like, he's been overseas for a long time, serving our country. He's just sort of like, you know, when it happened, if my time comes, my time comes. And that was the only – I wasn't screwing up my draft.
Well, that's like reminds me – did you see that movie The Grand, and Ray Romano is the husband, and the wife is going for the final poker tournament. She's going to win $1 million, and he can't go. He's like, honey, it's the draft.
I did not see that, but I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the attitude.
Yeah.
I certainly understand the attitude. Look, I've had people that, while their wife was pregnant and driving to the hospital to give birth, stopped off and had and made a draft pick, you know, or while their wife is giving birth at the hospital. Probably my favorite story of all this is that 2 hours before a guy's supposed to draft, he gets called into work. So he calls the commissioner and says, like, I got to do this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the season starts tomorrow. It's the only time we're all together. He's just like, dude, what do you want from me? Like, I need this job. Somebody called in sick. I can't get fired. So they said, you know what? Don't worry about it. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to your office. We're going to go to where you work, and we will hold the draft where you work. And where he worked was the Red Robin restaurant, where he was dressed as the Red Robin.
Very nice. Now, Matthew, what about some of the better attempts at cheating? Because obviously there are some guys that will, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right?
Right. there's a number of guys. I mean, there's probably my favorite cheating story. There's a lot of different ways to sort of cheat, but I think probably my favorite cheating story that I can say on the radio. I'll tell you this. There's many leagues where men and women are there, and women have been known to use more than just the players on their team to get what they want. I'll leave it at that. put it in the book there. But probably my favorite cheating story is, so a guy's in a league. It's a work league. It's a bunch of people he works with. And he thought he had won his playoff game. 2 days later, Elias comes out. They've changed the stat. And as a result, instead of a one-point win, he's actually lost by 2 points because of a stat change, like 2 days later. So he's very bitter. He's the commissioner of this league. So that night he goes in. He changes the scoring. He changes the rules of the league so that the scoring change doesn't really matter and he's still the winner.
Ugh.
What he doesn't realize is that that move is listed on the league website. So he goes into work the next day, and they've all seen this, that the guy has changed the rules and cheated to try to win.
Mm.
So they all start yelling at him at a staff meeting, and he starts yelling back at them. And so they're all screaming at each other. And you think, wow, that's pretty bad, right? Here's the worst part. Where he worked was a church because he was a pastor, and it was a league filled with pastors.
That's not too bad, but you know what? That's, people take this so seriously. I'm thinking about the Doug Martin tweet, you know, screw fantasy leagues. I'm thinking about Brian Westbrook taking a knee and everybody getting all over him. And it's like, look, I'm trying to win a game, and I'm not trying to screw you guys up. I think my favorite or worst favorite moment in fantasy was, I was at a Raider game years ago, and Elway is throwing like 5 touchdowns. The Raiders are crushed, and the guy behind me wearing a Raider jacket and Raider hat said, well, the good news is that I started Elway today, so I get those 5 touchdowns. And I'm like, you're getting a silver lining out of this.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy does sometimes inspire divided loyalties. There's no question about that. You know, so it depends. You know, listen, I'm always a believer of, you should root for who you want, whether it's rooting for a group of players that the general manager of the Broncos put together, who is now John Elway, or rooting for a group of players that you put together. Whatever, it's still the same thing. We're still rooting for a group of players, but I'm with you. Like, that would annoy me if I was a diehard fan of a team, and then I'm happy because the other team is crushing you, but you have that guy in fantasy. That one you can sort of keep to yourself.
All right, and finally, reading through the book, I saw some quotes from your Uncle Lester, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, I had to sit back, and about 3 of them, they were really good. This guy had some great philosophical statements.
My Uncle Lester is a genius, He sadly passed away a few years ago. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as I write in the book, my Uncle Lester was a self-made multi-millionaire. Speaking of Elway, literally lived in the same neighborhood as Elway in Denver for many years. So just, you know, he was a guy that really made a lot of himself, you know, his parents didn't speak English. He started working when he was 10 years old, sold his first car as a 10-year-old boy, you know, served our country overseas, and, you know, just sort of kept going. And so just, you know, as a guy that basically had been in business for over 70 years, literally he's been in business for 70 years as a salesman, as an owner, as an entrepreneur, he was super smart. And, you know, so his Lesterisms, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your favorites?
Well, I like the one where he said that the mouse, when he's in the mouse trap,
yes,
he's trying to get out of the trap. He's not thinking about cheese. But as soon as he gets out, he's thinking about cheese again. I also like the one where he said, don't borrow money when you need it. Borrow money when you can get it.
Yeah, exactly, which is really smart. He always, you know, he likes to say, like, you know, hey, listen, any executive, you know, a great executive, somebody who can get along with difficult people. Anyone can get along with great people.
Right.
You know, he'd say, you know, the best way to double your money is to fold it over.
Yeah,
and
put it in your
pocket.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Many, yeah.
You don't know how big a ditch you can jump over until you fall in. Never chase a deal, a woman, or a streetcar.
I like that one too. It's all good. You can find it in the book just called Fantasy Life by Matthew Berry. As you can tell, you do not need to be a sports fan or a fantasy sports fan to really enjoy this book. Matthew, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on the book, and I look forward to catching up with you down the road.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, and as I mentioned, you can get it from Riverhead Books. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.